church, I don't just mean a full congregation. I don't think that's the measure of health. I want to see a healthy church established and one that we live out what it means to be the church. Not just a gathering to come and listen to somebody speak or just to hear great worship, but a body that actually lives out the calling that God has placed on each and every one of us. A body that digs deep into the Word and is saturated with His truth, that we would have different lives, that we would look different to the world, not in a way that we would condemn the world, but in a way that we would inspire the world. In a way that we would have victory in our life over the sin and claim the freedoms that Christ has done and given us in our life. That we would hold on to those things and we would live a life that other people would admire and desire, and they would ask us for the reason for our hope. I'd love to see a church established in this community that not only comes and gathers for itself, but it comes and gathers so it knows how to reach its neighbors. To be able to love and serve the folks that are around us. That we would be about community here, but we would be about community around us and those that are lost. That we would dig into the Word and we'd hold on to the Word and it would be our truth and it would be our foundation. That we would deal with the lies that are in our life and we would live victorious because of God's Word flowing through us. That we would realize that maturity actually comes. As Ephesians talks about it, maturity actually comes when we step into the purpose that God has for us. That He has created each and every one of us uniquely and different, and He has gifted us in ways that wants to empower us to be able to change this world, that we would truly be the salt and light of this world. When we start to live out those things, we would see a greater kingdom impact. To realize that our brothers and sisters are not just here, but our brothers and sisters are in this congregation that meets in the morning, and it's in the congregation across the street, that it is throughout this place, and that when we start to work together, that we are better together. Together. I can't even get that one out. Better together. It's kind of like parquet, right? It's the reality that sometimes that we forget. We've just gone through COVID. I want to say just got through COVID, like it's done. I think we're getting there. I know there will be some things that follow through. But this last year has built into our society this idea of isolation. This idea that we need to separate and we need to pull back and only associate with a few people because that's what's safe. What a lie. Not so much in the sense of our health, but what a lie in the reality that actually God has called us to influence the world, to be in community, to love people. That it says that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How do we have the ministry of reconciliation if we're not meeting and hanging out with those that are far from Him? If we're not meeting and hanging out with our own church body? And loving on the people in our own church body that are in pain and suffering. See, the reality is we're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to be a body. We've turned church into this gathering place. The church is not this building. The church is not just Sunday morning. The church is every believer. That is the church. We are Christ's bride and we are called for a greater purpose. That's why I love these chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. Let's look at this for us. My tongue is all tied. Like I say, I'm going to be hoarse just after singing today. Let's start here in verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Some translations talk about being ignorant. Whenever I hear the word ignorant, I always think back to my brothers. I got older brothers, and you know how older brothers are. They kind of, you know, they tease with you and mess with you quite a bit. And I keep remember my older brother, Warren, would always ask me, Mark, you're just ignorant. And I go, that's not nice. He goes, it's all right. You're not stupid. We can fix ignorant. We can't fix stupid. That's how he'd always talk to me. And it's like, okay. So here it is. Paul's addressing this church and he says, hey, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to have an understanding. I think when it comes to spiritual gifts, what often happens is there's such controversy depending on what denomination you grow up in. There's such, sometimes it's mystical and sometimes it's not. And it gets to be this thing that a lot of us, we get confused about. And so it's hard for us to grasp and totally put our mind around certain things. And so what happens is we kind of choose to remain ignorant. In other words, we don't fully know. And yet that's exactly why Paul writes this section here, is he wants us to know. He wants us to grasp. Verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. It's kind of an interesting little verse that he throws in the midst of this, but I think it's his warning to us all that we're not as clever as we think we are. Because the reality is he wants us not to be ignorant. And as he begins to tell them about spiritual gifts, he also reminds them that spiritually you had some other beliefs that were out there sometimes. And so the truth is when we dig into God's word, when we begin to look at this, we need to look at it through the Spirit. We need to be able to look at it and go, what does God's word say throughout the whole of the picture? Not to shy away from things that are hard for us to understand, but to be able to start to grasp and have an understanding that is clear, that we would not build in lies. So many times we build our doctrinal truths, the things that we believe in Scripture, off of what we've heard other people say, not off of what we've actually read in Scripture and have come to a place of grasping in our own hearts. So I'd warn you, just as Paul is warning these guys, don't be led astray. Don't just be taking your ideas of what it is about spiritual gifts and what they are here and there from whatever you heard in the past, but be able to hold on to this, the truth of the Scripture, to be able to look at it and go, okay, without bias, God, please lead me through this. Help me to grasp and understand how this works in my life. Verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. When it says Jesus is Lord, that capital Lord there is actually translated Yahweh, the Old Testament word for God. So there's a truth of being able to realize that when we deal into this, we can have a lot of just misunderstandings in a lot of different places, but being able to come back and go, okay, I want to see God in the midst of this. And I want to recognize that it is the Holy Spirit that leads us, that it is Christ who has died for us, and that we need to hold on to these truths and dig into what they have for us. So let's dig into it. Verse 4 and 6 through 6 here. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. We see the Trinity begin to work here. The Spirit, the Lord, Jesus, and God. And what's interesting is he puts these things together here as he deals with this Trinity, the idea that there are three that are working together. And we look at this in Trinity, it's hard for us to understand. But as we look through the Scriptures, we realize that there is this uniqueness that is so hard to explain. But yet we understand that the Holy Spirit has a function, and that Christ has a function, and that God has a function. And somehow they are God, but yet God the Father is above all, and he is Spirit, and yet Christ became, even though he is a creator with God and all that, became flesh. And he's played this role to redeem us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us, and it makes us one. And it not only empowers us, but brings us gifts. The Scripture talks about not leaving us as orphans, that we can become one with the Father in the Son. And so we know throughout Scripture that these things work, and yet it is difficult for the church to really grasp how it works. The point, though, that he's making here is this, is that when we talk about spiritual gifts, and I think they probably have the same struggle that often we have, We talk about spiritual gifts, depending on how you look at things, depends on your struggle with them. Whether you look at spiritual gifts and go, ooh, I don't know, that's kind of supernatural. Or you go, well, it's really not that supernatural. You know, it's kind of just how God works in us. And, you know, we have these different views on how we look at it. I love the fact that he brings out the fact that there is one purpose, one God, and yet there's different functions. And sometimes there's the supernatural. Sometimes it's the common working that goes on. And all these things, all these services, they're all coming from the same Lord. But yet, even though there's different functions, in other words, there's unity in diversity. There's unity in this functionality of how things work, which is really cool to grasp on a spiritual level, because he then steps into this whole realm of us being spiritually diverse. Different gifts, different abilities. Chris is going to dig into that chunk of scripture where it talks about the body and the eyes and all of it. And the whole reality of that is this diversity, this beautiful diversity. Sometimes when people accept Christ, they think, if I become a believer, then I got to become like everybody else and all this. No. That's so far from the truth. Will we become like Christ? Yes, that is our destiny. But in the midst of our destiny, there is this great diversity. Look at nature around us and how it functions and all the different things that go on. The beauty is in the diversity. Matter of fact, when people try to make things all the same, and they don't like diversity. Some people don't even like the word diversity. They get frustrated and angry. But God is at work. And he's made you guys different. He's given you different backgrounds, different personalities, different abilities, different gifts. And the beauty comes on how well it all fits together to bring about his glory and his purpose. To be able to hold on to what it is that he's trying to do in the midst of us. There's beauty in this diversity, even though there is still unity. Let's get down to these gifts here. We're going to skip down here to verse 8. Verse 8 through 10. To one there is given to the Spirit a message of wisdom. That is a tough one to have. It's great for yourself, but nobody wants to hear anybody else's wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, a gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, he goes through this list and he gives us these different things, these different abilities. Some of them, to be honest, we would look at and we wouldn't even really necessarily recognize them as a spiritual gift other than he lists them here. When somebody comes along with some kind of wisdom or insight or knowledge and is able to help us, a lot of times we just go, yeah, that's great. You know, they're wise people. If somebody came along and did something miraculous or prophesied about something that was going to happen in the future, we'd go, wow, that's kind of wild. But yet Paul points out it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. And so a lot of times we want to go and we want to put emphasis on certain gifts or certain things and go, well, this is what makes it special. It's like, that's not the point. That's not the point at all. The point is that he's trying to get at is, listen, there's one Spirit and he's given us all these different abilities and different gifts, these different manifestations of who he is. And it functions differently. I want to jump around just a little bit just to be able to kind of give you a scope of some of the gifts that are brought up. So we went through this list here and verse, if you go down to verse 28, he brings up the gifts again, but this time a little bit different. It's not the same list. Same chapter, which is really kind of wild. Same chapter, but different listing of gifts. Now, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles. That wasn't mentioned before. Second, prophets, which is more of a role than those that prophesy. Third, teachers, which wasn't mentioned. Then miracles, which wasn't mentioned. Then the gifts of healing, of helping, of gratitude, generosity, and of different kinds of tongues. It's not generosity, it's guidance. Sorry about that. So he gives us this list here as he goes down through this that is different. There's a couple more roles that pop up in this compared to what we would just naturally assume as gifts. I'm going to turn over real quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I love Ephesians chapter 4 because it gives us insight to what the church is all about and how it functions. And at the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he lists out these things that Christ has given the church. And this time he lists out this leadership role in the church, but they are gifts also at the same time. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Some of those were already listed before. Some of them are brand new. As you begin to look at it, you begin to realize, oh, here's an evangelist and here's a pastor. And so the list is different once again about how he has given these things in order to be able to equip his church for works of service. Another place that we see the gifts come together in kind of a list is in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is in prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with you, with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouragement, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. He lists another different set of gifts. And boy, when you go through these gifts, there's some awesome ones in here. Man, if you guys have the gift of encouragement, now's your season. Hear me in that. Now is your season. We have literally just come through COVID. People are discouraged. They don't know about their future. If the church was to rise up and to encourage one another, to be able to step out into our society and give hope, what a great gift. Rise up in this ability that God has given you. Some of these we would look at, and like I say, we would look and say, serving. Here's this gift of serving, to be that person in the background that doesn't get recognized, but puts things together and organizes stuff and just helps people. We don't ever stop and go, wow, there's a spiritual gift. We give glory to those that are up front. We give glory to those that are miraculous. And yet, in each one of these lists that Paul has listed, there is a mixture that happens. And what's crazy about it is none of them are the same. Matter of fact, Jesus talks about the gift of celibacy. That's a weird gift. It's only weird to me because I don't have it. I'm madly in love with my wife. And so here's the reality of it. If Christ talks about that being a gift, why do we look at the gifts that are listed in here and go, here's your box. Now find your place and fit into it. I think that does the church a misservice. Because if you look at the scriptures that we just went through, they're all different. They're all unique in the way that they do things and how they manifest themselves. none of these lists are conclusive. And so when we go, here's the list of gifts, find the one that fits you. What we do is when we instantly go, okay, well, I think maybe I have the gift of prophecy. Maybe I should try that one. You know what I mean? So we try to step into something and then it doesn't quite fit the way we think it should fit. And then we go, well, I'm not too sure. And then we don't use what God has given us. And we become ineffective. And then we wonder whether we have purpose. And it's easier just to do our day-to-day thing. And we become defeated. When I read through this list, I see diversity all the way across it. When you begin to dig farther into chapter 12, you see this reality that he's arranged the body. And he's given us these unique opportunities. And it's for his glory. And so when we can stop and go, wait a minute. I know this. If I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if I've identified the reality that he died on the cross for my sins, paid my penalty, and I have surrendered that over. I have repented from the evil that I've done in the past and my wicked heart. And I've come to a place of accepting him as my Lord and Savior, receiving that grace. And surrendering my life to him. If I've gotten to that place, the scripture is clear. You have the Holy Spirit as a seal on your life. That you can cry out, Abba, Father. Because of the Spirit that has been given to you. And that the Spirit that has been given to you makes you a child of God. And if you are a child of God, and I am a child of God, because we have the same Spirit, which also gives us gifts, even though they're different, it's still the same Spirit, as Paul points out. He also says there in Romans, whatever it is, do it with all your gusto. Do it the way it was meant to be done. So you've been empowered. You have. You've been empowered. That empowerment, the Spirit living inside of you. You have abilities that I don't have. You have gifts and strengths that I don't have. And maybe somewhere along the line, we may have some that are really close to each other. But because of my background, because of your background, because of my experience and my knowledge and your experience, they're still going to manifest themselves differently. They're still going to be unique. And so my challenge is to stop putting yourself in a box. To be able to look at these scriptures and go, what's the point? What is he getting at? I want you to go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 12. I want you to go down and look at verse 11 first here. It says, as we just went through this list of gifts, he says, all these are the works of one and the same Spirit. And he distributed them, gave them to you guys, to each one of us, just as he determined. Go to verse 7, because I think this is the punchline. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There's the heart. There's the point. That's what Paul's getting at. There's this beauty and diversity. There's the reality that the Spirit works in all these different ways. And whether it's miraculous and God, people come along and go, wow, that was really cool because I saw what God did there. Or whether you're doing it and nobody recognizes that it's a gift, but yet you know that when you do it, you feel the love of God in your heart and you are empowered to do it because it satisfies what God has created you to be. When you begin to operate in those gifts, the reality of it is for the common good. He has given it to you for this. because it is the manifestation of the Spirit in you. Think about that. It is the manifestation of the Spirit in you. We have been created uniquely, and we have been created with a purpose. And God gets the glory when we step into that purpose and we allow people to be touched because the Spirit working through us. When He empowers us and helps us to do the things that others have a hard time with. When He empowers us and helps us to be able to step into people's lives and to encourage them or give them gifts or to serve them or to give them a word of knowledge or to be able to point them in the right direction. These are the things that God wants the body to do. When we don't do those things, we are not glorifying God because the manifestation of the Spirit is being hidden. You don't get to see it because I'm not going to use it. When we start to use those things, God is glorified for it. So I want you to stop. Here's my point out of this message. I want you to stop with the gifts, putting yourself in a box. Stop going, well, this is what I am. I want you to start thinking about how do I manifest the Spirit of God and who I am. Because you do have the Spirit of God. So how do you manifest the Spirit of God and who you are? Because that's the point. To be able to look at that and be able to say, how does this manifest itself in me? Here's some things to think about. When has somebody been touched or drawn to God through you? When did I feel the joy of God's presence when I was moved by the Spirit to do? What is that thing that God moved in your heart to do? What builds my faith and others? If we can grasp these thoughts, they begin to answer the question of what it is that the Spirit has gifted you in. And I believe that God doesn't just give you a gift. I believe that He gives you certain things, and there may be some things that are more powerful, but I believe that He will use certain things and manifest Himself in you in certain ways throughout your life. He's done it in my life. There's lots of places I can read through that list and go, oh yeah, I remember when that happened. Even though it may not be what I normally do. But yet God was glorified in it. Allow the Spirit to manifest itself in you. That is the point. If you are a believer in Christ, grasp you are loved and you are empowered. You are more than conquerors. If you're sitting here going through this message going, I have no clue what he's talking about. Ask that you would test yourself. Does your spirit testify with the Spirit that God has given you that you are a child of God? If you're not sure, I'd ask you to come to that place where you just surrender yourself before Him. To recognize that it is the power of the Spirit that lives in us, that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us. When we repent and we turn to Him and we accept Him in faith as that grace influencer in our life, as we surrender ourselves to live underneath His authority, that we have salvation. And we begin to feel His power in our life. Guys, we are the salt and light of this world. That salt and light happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest itself in us. Not to our glory, not for us to be able to claim, look at how great I am, look at me. That's not the point at all. But it's that the others would feel the touch of God in their life. Amen? And if you want to come up. Father God, we just want to come before You right now. I thank you that you do not leave us as orphans. I thank you that you have empowered me. But Father, to be honest, I want to thank you that you've empowered others. Those that have loved on me and shown me compassion. Those that have given me mercy. Those that have spoken wisdom into my life. Those that told me about things that you're yet to come. Those that have healed me. Father, I want to thank you for your mercy in me that has been given to me through the gifts of others. Father, thank you for the manifestation that there are people that I look to now here and in the past of people of faith that I look at, that he used that gift to step out in faith that inspire me to live better. Thank you for those examples. Thank you for the way that you manifest yourself. That we know we are not alone. That our faith is secure. That we can feel your touch. That we can recognize the grace spoken to us. Father God, help us to live lives of significance, to impact those around us. Not for our glory, but so that they may succeed, that you may be glorified. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, I'm Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. Really excited to see everyone. I've got a couple